Dealing with temptation. Do any of you ever cave into temptation?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad to see y'all's hands up. Those of you that don't have your hands up are liars. Because we all do that. We all face temptation and many times cave into it.
Yeah.
And yield to the temptation. It just doesn't never let up. Temptation. You would think that, okay, well, I got that conquered. It's coming back.
Yeah.
It's coming back. And probably with a vengeance.
That's right.
So how do we deal with it? How do we win the battle against temptation? Do we ignore it? Try to look the other way? Pretend that it's not there? No. That doesn't work.
No.
In fact, a lot of people assume that that is what the Bible is talking about here in James when the Bible says resist the devil. They believe that that means to ignore him, don't pay him any attention, don't pay him any mind, but it's a lot more than that. We're going to look at that too. So here in James chapter 4, we're going to read one verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for your word. It's so powerful beyond our imagination.
Yes.
It's so full. It has every answer to every problem that we will ever have.
Yes.
It's powerful. It's living. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to see what you have for us in it. Lord, open our hearts to receive it. Help us to learn what it is that you have for us and also to put it into action in our life. This is important for us because we all face this problem of temptation. Help me to say the things I should. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the word submit and resist, I think, is important that we understand what they mean. Because he doesn't just say resist the devil. That's the answer. That's only part of the answer. The first part is submitting to God.
Mm.
So, but first we're going to look at the word resist. The definition in the Noah Webster Dictionary, which was actually written, I believe, in the 1700s, which wasn't too far away from the time that the Bible you hold in your hand was written.
Right.
In fact, a lot of times in his definitions, he includes scripture to give us an idea of what the word means.
Right.
So he says that the word resist means to stand against, to act in opposition,
mm-hmm.
to strive against, to endeavor to counteract, defeat, or frustrate. Wouldn't you love to frustrate Satan?
Amen.
By the way, he's the only one that we should try to frustrate.
Yeah.
Everybody else, that would be a no-no. Okay? But that's what the word resist means. So it means a lot more than just ignore.
Mm. Amen.
Or don't pay any mind to the devil. Just look the other way. That's not what resist means at all. Resist has a very active connotation. It means to push back offensively.
Yes.
With deliberate force to defeat.
Mm.
In football, you have two sides. You've got the defense,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the offense.
Right.
You cannot win the game with only one side.
Amen.
We have to have an offense, and that's what the resisting of the devil is talking about here.
That's good.
Not the defense. Okay? Here's the problem with temptation. Satan is way more powerful, smarter, and experienced at his job than we are at ours of resisting.
Right.
The truth is, we don't really stand a chance in and of ourselves.
Right.
That's where submitting to God comes in. So we're going to look at that word, submit. It means to yield, to surrender, to yield one's person or opinion to another, to give up resistance. And I'm not done with this, but I just want you to think about this word, submit, in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. And how that the Holy Spirit is constantly dealing with us about our sin.
Yeah.
Okay? To give up resistance. Mm. To yield without murmuring.
Mm.
You know, a lot of the things that God's not pleased with in your life and mine, He tells us about it through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And many times it's immediately following that we begin to murmur. But God, you know, it's not that bad. That's not sin, is it? That's wrong? I'm not supposed to talk that way. I'm not supposed to think that. I'm not supposed to say that. The Holy Spirit says that's exactly right. Stop.
Yeah.
And what do we do? Instead of submitting, we do what? We resist. No wonder we cave in to temptation so regularly. We're resisting the wrong one.
Amen.
And submitting to the wrong one.
Right.
This is important right here. You don't want to miss this. You can't submit to God and Satan at the same time.
That's true, brother. Amen.
It will always be one or the other. As long as you are fully submitted to God, you will not submit to the devil. I want you to think about your weakness. We all have them. I sure do. I have more than one. And it's aggravating to me that I cave in to that sin, those sins. And I pray and I ask God for forgiveness. And I say to Him, here I am again. I'm sorry. Please give me victory over this. I don't want to do this. But it happens. So I want you to think about those sins in your life at this time when we're talking about trying to get the victory over temptation. As long as we are fully submitted to God, we will not submit to the devil nor the flesh, which is our other enemy.
Amen.
By the way, this is not a one-time decision.
No.
We don't say one day, you know what, I'm just done with that. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to yield to that temptation anymore. Then it comes back. And probably doesn't wait until the next day. This is more than just a daily decision. It's probably more than even an hourly decision. It's probably a minute-by-minute decision that we have to make to walk with the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit instead of yielding to temptation. to the devil and to our own flesh. Okay? Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lusts.
Right.
Now when we hear that, those of us that are a little bit older almost feel exempt from that command. What is youthful lust? Well, that covers a lot of things.
Amen.
That ain't one thing. It's many things. Youthful lust is simply the lust of the flesh. And that never goes away. It don't matter how old we get.
Right.
It doesn't go away. And so Paul was telling Timothy, flee. Don't get close to it because you like it. Flee. That means turn around and run the other direction.
Amen.
Okay? Resisting the devil and submitting to God, they go hand in hand. It's actually a single process. In other words, you're not going to resist the devil without submitting to God.
Right.
You're not going to submit to God without resisting the devil. They go hand in hand. They're inseparable. The times that you and I yield to sin are the times we have gotten lax in our submission to God. Let that sink in for just a minute. Jesus gave us a really good example. And we're going to turn there, in fact, in Matthew chapter 4. Real good example on how to resist the devil. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, we're going to read this. This is the account where Jesus, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. First thing I want to recognize here is that is the purpose by which the Holy Spirit had led Jesus into the wilderness, was to be tempted of the devil.
Right.
It was part of God's plan, just like it was with Job. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
God allows Satan to tempt us, but never more than we can handle.
Right.
A lot of times, you and I probably have all said, the temptation was just too great. I caved in. No, it wasn't too great. We just chose to get too close to it.
Yeah. Come on.
That was our choice.
Amen.
God gave us a way of escape.
Yeah.
We just chose not to take that way of escape.
Right.
Then it did become more than we could handle, but that was our fault, not his.
Mm.
He never puts us in a predicament we cannot get out of as long as we're submitted to Him. That's the key. The only time we cave into temptation to sin is when we're not submitted to God. Remember, this is a minute by minute decision many times. Not a daily decision. You don't get up in the morning and say, all right, Lord, today, I'm submitted to you fully. I'm yours. Take me where you want to take me. Show me what you want me to do. I'll do it. It don't work that way. Should we do that? Yes.
Yes.
But it could very well be in the middle of that same prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to admit this, but I'm going to. There's times in the middle of my prayer sometimes, in the morning. I mean, I'm right there on my knees, and I'm praying, and bad thoughts come into my mind. Does that happen to you?
Yeah.
Sometimes? I needed more than one hand up right there. Feeling a little wicked here. Okay. And I'm praying, and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. That was wrong. That was wicked. That was selfish. Please forgive me of that. So it's not an a one-time decision. It's not even an hourly decision. It's a common, it's a regular, real regular thing that we've got
Amen.
To do.
Amen.
So how did Jesus submit? The first two verses says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered."
Mm.
So what did Jesus do so that he could submit to the Father? God sent him to the woods. He said, "Don't eat for 40 days. Now, I'm not saying that for you to win the battle against temptation, you have to do a 40-day fast. That's not what I'm saying. How does fasting, though, help us resist the devil? I'm glad you asked. Fasting is more spiritual than it is physical. I don't know about you, but for me, it's not easy to go without food. It's an interesting thing because we need food in order to live. We need nutrition from that food. The other part of the problem is we want food.
Yeah, right.
We got a strong desire for food. Specific types of food too, by the way. I don't know about you, but I have a sweet tooth. Anybody else want to admit that weakness right there? Okay, I've got a sweet tooth. I eat vegetables and meats so that I can get to dessert. Now, I don't skip the vegetables and the meat to get to the dessert, but I've thought about it many times. We want food. We need it, but we want it.
Yeah.
We probably want it more than we need it.
Right.
So, fasting is a great way to teach ourselves self-control.
That's right.
Why? This time in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was specifically sent into the woods to be tempted of the devil, one of the strongest temptations he ever faced, and he did what during this time? He fasted.
Yeah.
He went through this process of consistently, no telling how many times throughout each day, he would say, "No, I'm not going to eat. Yes, I want that piece of fruit. Yes, I'd love to have a lamb chop. Yes, I would love to have this, that, or the other, but I'm not going to do it."
Right.
Just not going to do it. Listen, if we can't say no to a donut, how are we going to say no to the most powerful being on earth, only second to God? His name is Satan.
Right.
There's a lot more to this thing of fasting than we realize,
yes.
I believe. Forgive me, but my throat is itchy. Which is why I brought my water up here. Dying to self is imperative to winning the battle against Satan.
Amen.
All throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, Paul and Peter both strongly command that we work diligently on temperance.
Yeah.
Temperance is a good long word for self-control.
Right.
We seldom do that. We seldom tell ourselves no about the things that we want to do or the things that we want to say. That's why words fly out of our mouth that shouldn't.
Right.
During these 40 days of fasting, Jesus was building up his self-control muscle so that he could resist the devil. Look what else he did. In verses 4, 7, and 10, Jesus' comeback to Satan's temptation was nothing more than just a simple quotation of Scripture.
Amen.
All he did was recite Scripture to Satan. And it worked.
Yes.
The Bible says that Satan finally just left him alone. In one of the Gospels, it says for a season. In other words, he wasn't done.
Right.
He was just on vacation from it for a period of time. He did come back. That was not the only time of Jesus' life here on earth that he faced temptation. It was probably just the strongest time. It was in the beginning of his ministry. That's an important time for Satan to derail somebody. Because if he can get them derailed in the beginning, he don't have to worry about the rest of the time. That's why he's after our children so bad. That's why it's the duty of the parent, and it's such a great responsibility to make sure that our children are on the right track spiritually. Because Satan wants them bad. And he does it through these little games that they play on their iPads or their phone or your phone. He does it through these cartoons that they watch on TV. He does it through some of the teaching they get at school. He does it through some of the other children that they hang out with. Guard your children. Satan is after them. Heavily. It is, in order for you and I to quote Scripture to the devil, we have to know Scripture.
Amen.
That's right.
You can't quote something you haven't memorized.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
That's why God said in His Word, hide my Word in your heart. Commit it to your heart. Why does He say that? Because there's going to come a time, regularly, daily, several times throughout the day, that we have to pull that back up and recite it. Remember, that's what Jesus was doing. Again, this was one of the strongest times of temptation that he faced in the 33 years that he walked on this earth. How did he win? He quoted Scripture. I don't know what your besetting sin is. But it would be wise to find some scriptures that have to do with that besetting sin that you have.
Right.
And memorize that scripture. It's not that difficult. You just have to commit to do it. We memorize all kinds of things all the time.
Right.
But seldom we memorize Scripture. I wonder if the devil has something to do with that. He knows the power of Scripture. It caused him to leave Jesus alone. Right?
Right.
Do you memorize Scripture? Don't raise your hand right there. I challenge you to do it. Before January got here, I didn't memorize Scripture real regularly. And here's the reason. I mean, I'm getting older. My memory's getting worse. I can't remember as good as I used to. I know, I used to memorize Scripture when I was a kid and a teenager. But I'm in my 50s.
Oh, goodness.
I knew Brother Lewis was going to say something on this subject. But then in January, God convicted me about that, and He said, you need to memorize James chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that. But I can. You can too. It's just a little bit at the time.
Mm.
Zig Ziglar says, the way you eat an elephant is one bite at the time.
Yeah.
You can do it. That might take some time. More than just a chicken. But you can do it. One bite at the time. So if we're going to recite scripture to Satan when he's tempting us, or if we're just fighting against the flesh, the antidote is to recite scripture.
Amen.
And the way we recite it is first to memorize it. We do this by reading and studying God's Word, and of course, memorizing portions of it that pinpoint our specific problems. Okay? Then when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, that's where submitting comes into play.
Amen.
Remember, submitting means to surrender, to yield your opinion or desire to God. Give up resisting Him. Yield without murmuring. Mm. The more we yield to the Holy Spirit and say no to our flesh and saturate our minds with Scripture, the more we'll find ourselves being victorious in temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Tommy mentioned this morning and bravely asked everyone to raise their hands if they're on track on their reading through the Bible this year. And I do want to say as a testimony that when you commit to reading the Bible through in a year or even twice a year, something happens. I personally have taken the Bible reading plan that was chronological. I think Brother Tommy was just on the one where you read from the beginning to the end.
Right.
My particular plan was a chronological plan. This is what I've learned and what has really illuminated in my mind. And that is where Joel fits in.
Yeah.
Where Micah fits in. Where Habakkuk fits in. They lived during the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. It's interesting. It's helpful to understand what they were saying, knowing the time frame that they lived.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the bigger things. And of course, the more you read Scripture, the more you saturate your mind with Scripture, the more you think about Scripture.
Amen.
The less you yield to temptation. The more we're thinking about godly things, the less we're thinking about ungodly things.
Amen.
This is important. Because if you're like me and you get really discouraged when you're caving into temptation, we need to follow this formula that God gave us to be victorious over the temptation. So this is what I want to do. I want to encourage you to evaluate how deliberate and proactive that you are in armoring up for these spiritual battles that we all face every day. Take inventory of how deliberate you are here.
Mm.
This is not something that we're going to do on accident. You will serve God on purpose, or you will serve Satan on accident. One or the other.
Mm.
So if we just go home and go to bed maybe eat something, then go to bed and get up tomorrow, hope we have a great day, and never think about that we're going to face a battle and that we need to get armored up for that battle. And we're going to face some temptations and we need to get prepared for that temptation. Then you know what's going to happen? We're going to lose the battle.
That's right.
And then we're going to get frustrated with ourselves. And we're going to ask for forgiveness, hopefully. And then the next day, you know what's going to happen? The same thing. Insanity is to do the same thing over and over and yet expect different results. So if you're tired of losing this battle to the temptations that you face on a regular basis, we need to become deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get armored up on purpose. All throughout the four Gospels, you will find where Jesus rose up a great while before day.
Yes.
Why? To get armored up. To get prepared. He had battles to face that day and he knew it. He knew what the battles were going to be. We don't.
Yeah.
So take inventory of how deliberate that you are to get armored up. That may shed some light on why you and I fail and cave in to temptation so regularly. Because we're just not deliberately armoring up. We're not reciting Scripture because we haven't memorized Scripture. Let's pray. Dear Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I'm sorry for not putting on the armor like I should. Lord, I'm sorry that I've yielded to temptation all too often. So I pray that you'd forgive me, and I pray that you would help me to saturate my mind with your word. Lord, help me to be glad to memorize Scripture,
yes,
knowing that it's my only hope to resist the devil. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to resist the devil and our own flesh,
yes,
so that we can better please you and shine a brighter light for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn 4:9.